Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta
the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up.
Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't worry, I'm fine. Hold on! Breaking news! Despite this ridiculous head cold, that won't stop us. Are we not men? No, despite the fact that basically I feel like somebody put Play-Doh up both nostrils. We carry on because of breaking news. Don't know if you watched. I did. And I have to tell you, it was great theater. The speech, I guess it wasn't a State of the Union address. It was a speech by the President of the United States proclaiming America is back. We've entered into a golden age of prosperity. And while that would be groovy, I don't have any reason to not like that idea. That means if the economy is better, that means churches should be stronger. Financially, that means more work should be done for the kingdom. So I am all for a golden age of the woo. Look at the economics of America. They are soaring. I'm all for it. But does that mean that we're actually back? Well, obviously, that standard is rather elusive. But what does it mean to be a great country? What does it mean to be a great nation? And I'm afraid that while I think economics can certainly be a part of that consideration, there are loftier ideals, there are bigger ideas, there are concepts, there's behaviors, there's worldviews that are far more important that make us either a great or a diminished nation. The question isn't, are we on the spectrum? The question is, what are the metrics used to determine if we're great or not? And I have a confession to make. As I sat and watched that high theater, it was a Lulu. Man, that was fun to watch. Jimmy, did you watch that 90-minute presentation?
Not the entire thing, no.
Why not? You got tired of it?
Yeah, I did.
Why? Here's what I liked about it. Now, I suppose some people would say we've got to maintain the decorum of the house. I loved that liberal people were being called out for being terrible, just terrible. And I know the optics were missed by nobody when they wouldn't applaud for these young people, that families who had lost their children. A 13-year-old boy who had brain cancer, and they couldn't muster up enough humanity to clap for that because they so despised the man that was addressing him. You couldn't miss that. But it was more than bad manners. I think it's a representation of what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with evil. These issues that the president discussed on, was it Monday or Tuesday night? Tuesday night, let's just say medication has been involved in my life for the last several days. It was Tuesday night, and the president was talking about things like, I've made it the law of the land, two genders. Okay, we applaud that, like, yay. But consider for a moment the implication. We actually have to have legislation determining two genders? Huh? What? How low can you go? You have to make that you have to sign that? Getting rid of CRT. Getting rid of DEI. These are ideas that are so cockamamie that it is unbelievable that we're having to have somebody in office with a stroke of a pen to change it, at least temporarily. And so I have to tell you, I applauded all of the stuff that's being done. All of it. There was no talk, by the way, about abortion. No talk about life.
No talk really about the importance of families. Those things, they're not on the table. Sexuality, those things just, they simply weren't discussed. So I couldn't applaud those because they weren't there. But I did applaud the other things that he was doing. But at the same time, I'm maintaining, you can put whatever moniker on this you'd like to, but I'm maintaining a little bit of bridled enthusiasm. Cool. That's happening. But that does not mean there is not a massive undercurrent of evil, of just utter wickedness. So, Jimmy, I'm kind of out of gas. That's
well, you know,
that's all I got. We got like 6 minutes to fill here.
You've been sick, so I get it.
Hey, hold on. Here's something on my desk that we could just randomly discuss: the imprecatory psalms. Yeah, just this. That's all I got.
Okay.
So don't think for a second that these are connected to the behavior that we saw in Washington on, was it Tuesday night?
Tuesday
night on the right side of the president. Unbelievable. Just, it was absolutely unbelievable. I know we're going to be polite. We're going to love our enemies. But that does not mean that we can overlook what is going on in the nation's capital. Yeah, they're a bruised party. There is no question about it. Will they go away? No, they'll reinvent themselves. And the society morally will continue to devolve. And that means that society will catch up with them at some point, which is why I have bridled enthusiasm, and which is why I think we need to understand what's at stake here. This is worldview related. This is not real. It might not be as barbaric on the surface, but the issues that we're dealing with here are indeed barbaric. We have a tendency to look back, well, those guys in the Old Testament that got the imprecatory psalms, they were riding around with spikes on their armament, and they just walked around and they punched women in the face. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty barbaric. Having a grown man shower in a woman's locker room? That isn't barbarism? Having a man undress in front of other girls, having a man compete against girls, having a man smash a volleyball into the face of a young lady, causing her brain damage, that's not barbaric. Do we have permission, therefore, to pray the imprecatory psalms? And the definitive answer is absolutely. Now, that doesn't mean recklessly. It doesn't mean hatefully. It doesn't mean cruelly or spitefully, but it does mean, yeah, we're talking about evil here. And despite the fact that people were dressed up, even though I think inappropriately, they looked like they had their hair done, their nails were trimmed, they're in Congress, they're walking around Washington, they probably have a house and a car, they look pretty civilized. We're dealing with barbarism and sheer evil. And I don't think we should be overlooking that. And I want to rejoice that there are some good things that are happening, but I don't think we can forget the spiritual battle and the utter wickedness that is being promoted by the left side. And I mean wildly left, from Think Theology, praying the imprecatory psalms. We see them not just in the psalms, the imprecations. Hey, do something. Hey, deal with these people. They're being terrible. End their lives if necessary. That's an imprecatory psalm, because people are relentlessly being evil. Outside of the psalms and wisdom literature, imprecations are found in three Old Testament contexts: sanctions for covenantal disobedience, prophetic judgments, and oath-taking. The Mosaic law used curses as a warning against disobedience. That's detailed in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. There are 27 types of curses found in those passages that will come upon the Israelites if they violate the covenant, but consolidates them with six terms: defeat, disease, desolation, deprivation, deportation, and death. All that to say that it is appropriate and biblically sanctioned to pray that people's evil deeds will come to an end. Now, I think as New Testament believers, because we are called to love our enemies, that certainly is going to affect our attitude and our tone. Nevertheless, it doesn't diminish the permission that we have to ask God to do what he sees best. That's our New Testament attitude. Don't smash him against the rocks. Just stop him. Convert them or stop them. I think that should be the prayer. Convert them or stop them. By the way, Jesus woed the Pharisees 8 times. The Apostle Paul used curses twice. 1 Corinthians 16:22, Galatians 1:8-9. So we see Old Testament and New Testament imprecations praying that God would put an end to evil. I don't think that we should be praying for car accidents and horrible diseases that terminate their lives. We'll leave those details in the Lord's hand. But I think what we saw on Tuesday night is it's time to be praying, Lord, use your excellent judgment, but please, please, please put an end to this evil. This is Wretched Radio.
You might not see them, but the world keeps handing you chains. Chains of fear, chains of people-pleasing, chains of self-love disguised as confidence. It tells you that your worth is found in self-esteem, that your security is found in human approval, and that your strength is found in emotional indulgence or cold, hard stoicism. It's all a trap. And on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, she's cutting through the lies. This isn't just another self-help pep talk, never cheesy, never shallow, just powerful, practical, biblical truth that sets women free. This is Intelligent Talk Radio for women, because real freedom doesn't come from looking inside yourself. It comes from looking up to Christ. If you're ready to ditch the world's empty solutions for something real, it's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. Because in a world full of compromise, there indeed is a better way.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Ever feel like you're watching the culture shift beneath your feet? Yeah, you're not alone, and you're not without allies either. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled a powerhouse team of biblical voices to help you navigate these challenging times. From Tim Challies to Brad Bigney to Adam Tyson and Greg Gifford, our fellows deliver daily content that transforms confusion into clarity. Whether you're tackling marriage challenges, parenting questions, or personal growth, Fortis Institute is ready with biblically grounded wisdom. We're not just offering commentary, we're providing a comprehensive toolkit for living boldly in an increasingly complex world. Through our daily podcasts and video content and live events, we're equipping believers to stand firm without wavering. And if you want to be part of something bigger, join the Fortis community today. Visit FortisInstitute.org and discover why thousands are turning to Fortis Institute as their trusted source for biblical wisdom. Because when the world seems to be turning upside down, we remain steadfast. It's Fortis Institute, where we're standing firm and standing together.
Important dates in Christian history. 1620. Pilgrims coming to America sign the Mayflower Compact and commit themselves to seek the public good, uphold group solidarity, and forsake self-seeking. The Pilgrims' influence helped to create the religious freedoms enjoyed today in the United States.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Bless your heart for putting up with my congested nose. Sorry. Feel mostly okay. Todd, this isn't about you. You're right. You know what? That actually helped. Well, that was a weird experience. This is Wretched Radio. I've been blowing my nose for 3 days. Maybe I should have done what we did when we were kids. Blow your nose, said your mother. Well, maybe in some instances, it might be good to just sniff, which, by the way, I have been doing with Flonase. Normally, I got to tell you, that saline solution, Mrs. Friel loves it. She thinks it's like a miracle cure for colds. When your nose is congested, you take the salines and you just like rocket fuel shot up your nose, if that's how rocket fuel works. And I can't do it because it drips down the back of your throat. And I just, but the Flonase, I can handle the Flonase. It's a steroid that presumably keeps you from having to sniff. Clearly, this was not an endorsement. But here is an endorsement. Man, I got to tell you, Jason is doing such a bang-up job with Fortis Fellows. Okay, hold on. Where's my thingy with the... Okay, Jason Lyle. Dr. Jason, you know Jason Lyle from Answers in Genesis fame. He's one of our Fortis Fellows. He's going to be in town March 21st and 22nd in studio. We're going to do a bunch of TV. We'll probably have him on radio if we can smash that into the schedule too. But he's going to be delivering a biblical apologetics course, Irrefutable Proof of Creation. Dr. Jason Lyle, it's going to be here in Alpharetta. It's a suburb, northern suburb of Atlanta. It's going to be a 2-day affair. You want to come? We would love to host you. We are going to have a studio audience, and we have, I don't know, 60 chairs, 80, maybe something like that. And if you'd like to fill one of them or several of them with your family, you can come to the evening session on Friday night or Saturday morning. Either way, you can do one or both. But it's going to be 10 lectures, and it is going to be awesome. Did I mention it's free? You can register. FortisInstitute.org/creation. FortisInstitute.org/creation. Here's another event going on in Fortis Institute land. A webinar with Tim Challies and several of his buddies who have experienced unimaginable grief in the loss of a loved one. And they are going to be doing a webinar with Jason to lead us all to grieve rightly, biblically, and help those who have experienced a very hard loss to mourn with hope. That is also free. That's going to be March 13th. You can sign up for that. It's going to be on the YouTube machine, FortisInstitute.org/webinar. Not to mention all the free stuff that we're cranking out every single day. You can find it all at fortisplus.org. Church news time. Hey, here's some good news. After years of decline, share of U.S. Christians stabilizes. Well, I guess that's better than nothing because, wow, have we seen a precipitous drop over the last years as humanism seems to be in full bloom. But I think honestly, the bloom is almost off the rose already, because it doesn't take a brain scientist to figure out, hey, this ain't working. This whole humanism idea, and even down to the basic level of that longing in the human heart that beats for eternity because it's implanted there by God himself. You can't escape that. Why do we all think, and I don't care what culture you're in, why do we all think that there's something beyond the door? This is not the end. We know that. Why? Because God has written it on our hearts. That's where eternity resides, and we can't shake it. And humanism can't help it. I was reading an article. I didn't bring it in. It didn't make the cut. It was from NPR. And they were Was it Claremont University? I can't recall the university. Their spiritual professor. A spiritual professor? What's your source material? What's your authority to be teaching your spirituality? Just a gobbledygook of a Mac, just whatever I think happens to be a good idea, apparently, was telling us how to be more spiritual. And it was all, it's like Shirley MacLaine called. She wants an apology because it's just utter nonsense. It's just nothing there. And humanism does not answer the big questions of life. What am I doing here? What's the point? Where am I going? Where'd I come from? Is there something more to this life? And the Bible gives a resounding, oh yeah, there is a lot more to this life. And by the way, if you get a chance, go to the YouTube machine. It's Jimmy, could you look for the, maybe if you just put in, see if you can go to our page and use a Wretched Heaven and see if our most recent video pops up. I think it will bless you to understand and to, best life now. Best life now is first of all unbiblical. Second of all, it's so unclever. It's so not smart. It's so not deep. It's so not transcendent. It's just about as basic and banal as it can possibly be. Instead, the Bible presents that this life right now, inklings, it'll just, there's more coming. There's bigger coming. All of your longings that you've had have been a longing for someone greater and someplace better. And that only happens when we die or the Lord returns. Your best life now, what a tragedy. Jimmy, you find that thing?
Yep.
What's it called?
Here's what no one tells you about heaven.
Yeah, so the heaven should probably just should get you there. Secularism. It offers nothing. And I think people are feeling it. And I think that's why the atheist statistics are stabilizing also. 62% of Americans claim to be Christians, religiously affiliated in some way, shape, or form. But that's a shrinkage. 29% of Americans claim no religious affiliation, 5% identifying as atheist, 6% agnostic, and 19% as nothing in particular. 7%, they practice the other religions, the big ones, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. Evangelical Protestants make up 23% of U.S. adults. That's down from 26% in 2007, which is less of a drop than mainline Protestantism, which is down 7%. And by the way, the United Methodist Church, fewer than 3. Do you know that Methodism used to be the predominant Protestant religion in this country? I think it was the early 1800s. Methodism just exploded. 3%. That's down from 5% two decades ago. Why is that denomination diminishing? Well, God's not pleased with it. Let's start there. But they've strayed away from the Bible. And people, I think increasingly our understanding that it's like, no, I've already tried to embrace secularism. And I embraced a cloud. It just went, pfft. I need more. I need bigger. I don't, the whole worldly thing and your rainbow vestments, that's just not working. Give me something more. And I think that the churches that are being more liturgical, believe it or not, though that doesn't mean you got to be swinging incense and mumming, but it does mean that people are looking for something more sober and serious than what they're currently getting in so many evangelical churches. To the Catholic Church we go, hey, they paid more than $5 billion for sexual abuse of minors over 20 years. That would be priests and deacons. Oofda. Last September, the Diocese of Rockville Center in Long Island, which is the largest Catholic diocese in the U.S., filed for bankruptcy because they had to pay more than 600 survivors of sexual abuse $320 million. Question for you. regarding the Roman Catholic Church being the religion that has a line straight back to Peter, authorized by Jesus Christ. When you consider the legalistic system of Catholicism and you consider the woes of Jesus Christ toward the Pharisees for their legalistic system, why would Jesus denounce one system only to replace it with another legalistic system? And the answer is, he wouldn't. Pastor, megachurch pastor Jamal Bryant claimed that the people, the black people, got to use everybody's moniker these days, well, that went to the White House and supported Donald Trump are runaway slaves and coons. That's lovely. Oh, how far we've backslidden. This is Wretched Radio.